My name is Jimmy Hudson, and I'm on staff here as the Family Ministry Coordinator. Welcome to all of you, Restored. Love you. So proud to be part of this body. If you're visiting, welcome. And we'd love to have you part of us too. And so, what a weekend. So a bunch of us went down to Oklahoma City to this conference of sounds weird to say it, but melding the spirit and the word. We shouldn't have to say it, but over time we have unfortunately the two have become this separation and gone apart from each other when in reality they're not. Biblically walking in scripture, they're the same. And so we're gonna dig more into that, and Rob's talked some, and we'll talk some this morning. But here's so funny thing is I've never seen so many tight roll jeans, flannel, and beards. Awesome beards. Honestly, I was jealous. That's wrong. Shh, I shouldn't be jealous. What was that? So I don't either. I can't wear tight roll jeans. I don't like flannel, and this is about as good as I can grow. And so my one attempt on being cool was I actually brought my iPad and my Bible up here this morning. So we'll see if it works. But quite honestly, it was a great conference, and I heard because, you know, we were in there 2 and 2.5 hours, and an hour of that was worship. So I'm pretty sure we're going to go to that next week, so be prepared to come back. No, but it was pretty stinking awesome just to sit before the Lord. We had people on the sides. I had this desire to do this today because I've watched a lot of people with banners this weekend doing this. And so it was just people dancing jigs that I'm not even going to try. But it was just so freeing to see all walks, all aspects, different denominations coming together freely in the Spirit, worshiping the Lord, and just listening to the Lord speak in and through that. And so that is our desire here. We want the gift to flow, the Holy Spirit to come across the room who's inside of us, and the gifts to explode in us, to hear the Lord and act in obedience in that calling. And so, can you tell it was a good weekend? But it's one of those weekends you come away from, and you're completely charged and you're completely drained all at the same time. And so that's kind of where I'm coming from this morning. So if there's any misspellings in the PowerPoint, that's Courtney's fault. I mean, that's why. And so, Courtney's my wife, by the way. And so we're going to dig in. If you are new here, we have been digging into 1 John 2, or 1 John, the last couple of weeks. We're in our third week. And so this week, we're going to keep moving into that, and we're looking at 1 John 2, verses 3 through 14, and what we're looking at is the truths that are in these scriptures that John has laid out. And so he is writing to a group of people that are challenging God's word. They're challenging what Jesus said. They're challenging what it looks like to walk a spiritual life. And so John is writing to a bunch of believers to help them walk this out. And so let's read through the scriptures. And then we're going to talk about a couple things, and we're going to go through this line by line and just not see what I have to say, but see what God has to say. So let's pray before we do that. God, we just, as we come before you, Jesus, we want you to wash over us. We want you to be our everything, our direction. Holy Spirit, we know you're in the room. We ask you to illuminate God's word this morning, to touch every heart in here, to touch every mind, for them to hear exactly what it is that you have for them this morning, God, to not hear my voice, but to hear yours, Father. And God, as we walk out of this room after this sermon, God, may it be from the altar to the door. The things that you have called in our lives and spoken into us, we will take and walk out of this building and live in the light of Jesus and the Holy Spirit that is in us. So God, prepare our hearts, prepare our minds. Speak this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's read, and then we'll keep going. 1 John 2, 3, verse, through 2, 14. If you don't have a copy of God's Word, we have some at the back of the room. If you need one or don't have one, you're welcome. That is a gift from us to you. And by this, we know that we have come to know him. Speaking of Jesus. If we keep his commandments, whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him, truly, the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Beloved, I am writing to you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you've had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I'm writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, but because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young man, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. So this is our scripture we're digging into this morning, and here's the boom. So the boom is just kind of an overarching point from the sermon, from the scripture, that we want you to take home. Something to, quick and easy to hopefully remember and put into your heart. Our relationship to Father God, God the Father, that is made possible because of the Father's love for Jesus and Jesus' love for us, comma, should create in us a love for Jesus and a willingness for us to be obedient to God's commandments. One more time. Our relationship to the Father that is made possible because of the Father's love for Jesus and Jesus' love for us should create in us a love for Jesus and a willingness for us to be obedient to God's commands. Amen. Absolutely. This is what John, I believe John's kind of leading to, and I believe part of this is how God led me this weekend through our worship. But there's two really important foundational things that we need, really, before we can jump into this. Because there's a lot of things in here of if you don't do this, then you aren't this. If you do this, you are this. So it seems like there's a lot of actions that are somewhat dependent on us. So before we get there, let's point that it's not. First foundation is this. We can have a relationship with God because Jesus paid for our sins. So the relationship we have with God that we're talking about that leads to those obedient commandments, that leads to Jesus' love, is because he paid for our sins. So if we back up a little bit, last week, the last two verses that Rob went through was 1 John 2, 1 and 2. And so I want to read those to you, and that will help explain this. My little children, I'm writing you these things so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins. That's a big word. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole entire world. And so here's the thing. Let's imagine we're sitting in a courthouse, okay? And so the judge is up here, and Jesus and I over here, he's my advocate, he's my lawyer. Satan's over there, he's in the, what's that, the plaintiff or defendant, what's over there? So I'm the defendant, and so the judge, you know, you stand up, and not that I've done this, I just watch it on TV. So they stand you up, and the judge says, hey, how do you plead? And so I'm standing here, and Jesus goes, we plead guilty, sir. We what? No, we plead guilty, sir. And so Satan's over here going, yeah, he's guilty. Woohoo, he's going. And so over here, and so, but then Jesus goes, hey, Father, can I come to the bench? He says, sure. So he goes up to the bench and he stands there and says, God, we're guilty. He's guilty. But I got this one. I've paid for this. I've taken this on. And he says, okay. Yeah, amen. So he comes back and Jesus takes his place. I'm still here going, what? And so the judge goes, case dismissed, been taken care of. Done. And Satan goes, whoa, hold on, he said he's guilty. And God says, no, 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 my son took care of this. So that's what happens. Jesus paid for it. There's absolutely nothing we did, could do, ever will do. Jesus took care of our sins. He paid that. That word propitiation, it's a gift for the gods. It's something that he did for God. God asked him to. But quite honestly, it's a gift for us too. A gift we didn't deserve. A gift that we shouldn't have had, but one that was given to us. So, sorry. So keep that in mind today as we walk through all of this. And you'll probably hear me say it 20, 30 times. But Jesus did this. He paid for the sins. He took them on and wiped them out. So foundational point number two is this. Obedience does not come first. Love does. Obedience does not come first. Love does. I cannot work and be obedient enough to do anything for God. Love has to take care of all of that. So love comes first. John 15, 9 and 10 says it like this. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Jesus loved the Father first. Excuse me. The Father loved Jesus first. And because of the love that God had for Jesus, he was able to take on the cross. Even at the point when he was in the garden and he was crying tears of blood, saying, Father, please, if any way you can take this from me, please do, but if it is your will, Father, then I'll do it. Only because of the love that God had for him could he do that. Could he keep this commandment to go die on a cross and pay for our sins. And then one day, hallelujah, raise again. That love that God has for Jesus, Jesus has for us. And that it's that love that should allow us to walk and be obedient in the commandments we're going to talk about today. And hopefully, it's that love that drives me to love Jesus. And quite honestly, that's hard. So every day of my life, love Jesus. There are days that I'm better at it than others. I seem to let life get in the way. But praise God, it's not dependent on me. His love is unfailing, unconditional, will never change. And so, yeah, I try and I walk in the Spirit, but praise God, it's not on me. Amen. We were at this conference this weekend, and I was telling you about the thing, this conference, you know, conference you go and you learn, right? And that's what we totally did, and we were learning about the gifts of prophecy and the gifts of knowledge and what it means to walk in the Holy Spirit and all these things, but the best thing about it is that wasn't really the focus. The best thing was the focus was Jesus' love for me. He's my friend, and then in turn, hopefully my love for him. That really drove everything at this conference. And Francis Chan, if you don't know him, he's a speaker. He speaks a lot of youth and does a lot of things. But he's just, I love him. He's so real. I've never seen him come out and do this and go, I don't see it in here, or it's in here. And so he doesn't want to do anything. I just lost my place. He doesn't want to do anything that God's not telling him to do. And so he walks out on the stage, and you know, there's a couple hundred, 300, 400 people. And he walks in and he does this. I mean, I get back up. He says, I don't want to tell you guys anything that the Holy Spirit's not telling me to say. And so he sits there and he weeps and he prays and he just leads out of that. I mean, he was down there probably 15, 20 minutes. But here's the quote that he said that blew me away and made me really think. He said, I don't want to be known for anything but loving Jesus. As a church, what would it mean to be known as the church that loves Jesus? Church, we can do a lot of good things. Look at this building, man. Come on. Yeah, right? So Restore, man, we've got some workers. We can put on a clinic. We can share, give out food. We can prayer walk. We can do lots of great things. And those are all great things because they lead to Jesus and they point to him. But ultimately, what Rob has been preaching from day one and what we want our heart to be is, we want to be the church that is known for loving Jesus. And that happens because he first loved us. That's where it comes out of. My love for him came out of his love for me. That's what drives, hopefully, everything I do. So So those are the two things we have to foundationally understand as we walk through the rest of the scripture that's going to call us possible liars and in darkness. And at the end, but it's going to call us children and fathers and young men who are on the front lines. Those are that everything we're going to talk about has to foundationally walk out of that first. Even the guy who wrote this, John, if you were here 2 weeks ago when Rob first went in this, he was first known as the Son of Thunder. He would come in and just, he didn't care who you were. He was going to tell you what he thought was the truth, and he was going to yell it, and he was going to put it in your face. But later on, he was known as the one who leaned on Jesus' breast. He was the one that sat there next to Jesus at the table and leaned his head on him. Oh, to be that one. The one that leaned on Jesus. Well, that's where we're coming from. Okay. Let's dig in. Let's start with 1 John 2, verses 3 and 4. I'm going to find my place here real quick. Okay. All right, so let's read together. And by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Whoever says I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. So what John is doing here, he's setting up some tests. So we got about two or three tests we're going to go through. And each one of these is geared to help us, where are we in our Christian walk? Or maybe we're not in a walk with God. Maybe we think we are. And so these are tests. And so these may not apply to you, and they might. But we're going to walk through all of them so we have an understanding. We can use these tests later in our life and as we walk each day to figure out where we are. And so in this first one, he says, and by this we know that we have come to know him. So this know, this knowledge that he's talking about, it's not just me reading a book. It's not head knowledge that I take from here, remember here, and put on a test. It's not something that I just have. It's an intimate knowing of who Jesus is. It's an intimate relationship knowledge. The word here, is kind of the same word used when it talks about a man and a woman, a wife and a husband, that intimate knowledge they have for each other. And so it's a very intimate knowledge of Jesus. So how we know that we really know him is by keeping his commandments. That's how we really know. Paul says it, he says it like this. He's speaking of this wonderful moment when he realized that everything else is superseded by the intimate, personal knowledge of Jesus as his Messiah and Lord. So Paul, if you know anything about Paul, he was the Jew of Jews. He could quote scripture front and back. He lived the life as best he could. And so he was a pretty big guy in that realm. And so if you think about head knowledge, he had it. But there came a point when he realized that everything else is rubbish. He says in Philippians 3, 8, it's not up here, so I'll read it to you, but Philippians 3, 8, it says like this, more than that, speaking of all that other stuff, I count all things to be lost in the view of the surpassing value of knowing this intimate knowledge, Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. He knew that everything was nothing compared to Christ. He knew that his family was nothing compared to Christ. He knew that his job, his role in life, everything, it doesn't matter, his car, his house, you name it, none of it mattered compared to knowing an intimate, personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So this is what we're talking about here. The way that I know, have that true knowledge, is keeping his commandments. And this knowledge, it's not just me. It's not my physical walk. It's, oh yeah, I did more good than bad today, and I didn't say any lies. I didn't cuss anybody out. I didn't covet anybody's stuff. It's not a physical. It's here, this is the better words. It's a spirit-enabled keeping of the commandments. It's being able to fight off the temptations of the flesh. whatever that is for you, it's Spirit-enabled walking out, following of the commandments of God, even to the point of fighting the temptations of the flesh. The flesh is strong. Scripture tells us that. But the God who lives in us is stronger. Doesn't matter what my lustful thoughts, my pride, my anger, my addictions. It doesn't matter. I can walk those out by the enabling of the power of the Spirit. Am I going to fall? Yes. John even said further back in chapter 1, he says, anybody who says I have no sin deceives himself. He's a liar. So we have sin's going to be in us. But he also says we have an advocate who took it on for us. And so if I screw up, if I fall, if I sin, I come and I say, Jesus, forgive me. I repent of that. Give me the power to continue to walk this out. I know you've paid me for my sins. He has paid for our past, our present, and our future sins. They're all taken care of. The commandments that he's talking about here, it might be the Ten Commandments. It might be thou shalt not covet, kill, destroy, thou shalt have no gods before me, you know, all those things. But I think we can even break it down to something even more simple. Jesus put it into really two things in Matthew chapter 22, and it'll be up here. So in Matthew 22, Jesus, he wraps them all these laws into two things. He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and other places says your strength. Back in Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, this wasn't new. Says the same thing. This is the great and first commandment. And second is like this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So we're gonna try to make it simple for us. These are the two things that we're talking about as we walk through, and he says you should be obedient to the commandments of God. We're going to wrap it on these two things. Because if I should be in my word. I should know God's word. I should read it. It should be in my heart. But if I can follow these two things, the rest of it falls into place. And so we want to keep it as simple as we can as we walk. So let's keep moving. So now he says, in verse 5, so he says, but whoever keeps his word in him, truly the love of God is perfected. And we're going to stop there because honestly the second line actually will go with verse 6. And so, but whoever keeps his word in him, truly the love of God is perfected. So first we saw, hey, you're a liar if you say you're in God, but you're not following his commandments. Contrast it with, but if you are keeping it, love of God is perfected in you. What does that love of God being perfected mean? I like the term, I read this, and it means matured. And so over time, as I am walking in the Spirit, reading God's Word, trying to be obedient, His love for me is perfected. Now, He's perfect. And so this is really for us to try to wrap our brains around. It's perfected in us. It's already perfect, but it becomes more real and more perfect in our minds. And really, our love for Him becomes more perfect, and we mature in our Christian walk, and we're able to walk those commandments out more obediently because that love continues to be realized more in our hearts and our minds and our walk. And so when we talk about that, that's really what we're talking about. I hope that makes sense. It's His love being perfected as we walk it out with Him. But as I do that, John says that you will have assurance, completely assured that Christ is in you. You have His righteousness, and you are saved. And so there are a lot of people that out there that, how can you know if you're saved? And there are some denominations say you can't, and some that say you can lose your salvation, and that's a completely longer topic we don't have to come back to. But the reality is this, we can know that we have Jesus Christ living in us. He has forgiven us of our sins, and we have His salvation because of His love that is perfected in us as we walk out those obedient commandments that He's given us, to love Him with everything we have and to love those people He's put in front of us. It's simple, really. It may be not simple to do, but it's simple. And so let's say, I get that, but really what does that mean in my life? What would my life look like if I was really following those out. And last week, Rob talked about the sin and different things like that. And I found this list I really like. So a mature perfection of love brings about this kind of change in our hearts. First, it says we no longer love our sin. As a matter of fact, there's a hatred of it. Scripture says, I will put to death my sins every day, those things that keep me from getting to God. So there was a several years ago in my life, and I honestly don't know if I've ever told you this, looking at my wife. No, it's nothing major. But I was in a job and dealing with a lot of lustful thoughts, and I hated it, absolutely hated it. Came home one day, and somebody's iPad's going off. I came up, and I came home, and it was just me, and I was done with it. I was done with it. So I got on my knees before the Lord, and I cried and said, Lord, I don't want this anymore. I hate this. Take this away from me. And he did. God's a funny man at times. He took my job away from me. Yeah. Just a week or two later, I lost my job. But they closed down the hospital part, he provided another job, and I'm here today. And so there was a process there, but there comes a point when we hate our sin so much. And if that hasn't happened to you, test it. Is God really in me? Has there been a point in my life that I really hate the sin that is in me? And then is there a point where you don't brag about it? You know, there's probably a time in your younger life that, oh, man, I drank 20 beers last night, and I was on my head, and I was doing all this stuff, and we brag about our sin, right? And so, we don't want it anymore. We don't brag about those things. We don't enjoy our sin anymore. This one is really, we no longer are comfortable with our habitual sin. There are sins that we have in our life. They're stronger sins than others. They hold on. They're thorns in our side, and they don't let go. And we continue to pray, Lord, I don't want this. Take it away from me. And it's still there for some reason. And I go for seasons that it's really good, and I don't deal with that sin. And then all of a sudden, it rears its ugly head and comes back at me. But I don't want it. I'm not comfortable in it. You know what? That's how God made me. It's okay. That's just who I am. No, I'm not comfortable with that sin anymore. Do I fight it? Do I pray against it? Yes. But maybe God doesn't take it away. And this quote by Spurgeon, Spurgeon blows my mind, and I can't ever sit down real long and read him, but obviously a very smart man and has some quotes that do stick, and this is one of them. The Christian no longer loves sin. It is the object of the sternest horror. He no longer regards it as a mere trifle, plays with it, or talks of it with unconcern. Sin is dejected in the Christian's heart, though it is not ejected. Sin may enter the heart and fight for dominion, but, I love buts, but it cannot sit upon the throne. The person that sits on the throne of your heart is Jesus Christ. And so that sin can no longer sit there. So if I am walking in light and I'm following his commandments, that sin no longer has dominion in my life. No longer has dominion in my life. I love that. Verse 6. So again, in verse 5, you know, it says this, but whoever keeps his word in him, truly the love of God is perfected by this. So how do we know that? How do we know we're walking in God? How do we know it's perfected? So by this, this is how we know what happens. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way which he walked. And that word ought in Scripture, it's a pretty strong word. I mean, it's really, come on now, you better be doing this. So you ought. If you are in the light, if you're walking his commandments, you should be walking the same way as Jesus did. Woohoo! I get to walk on water. Right? No. I wish I could. It'd be kind of awesome, actually. But no, we're not imitating Jesus. We're not imitating him. We're not walking exactly as he did. We're living a life the way that Jesus did. To walk like Jesus means that we have a intimate, again, relationship with him. We are completely dependent on him. That word abiding, we've seen several times, that abide, to remain in, to be completely dependent, to have an intimate relationship. We are remaining, staying, walking with Jesus. another theologian, his last name was Wiersbe. You've heard probably many times in here, says this. This happens, again, not by imitating God, but when the Holy Spirit, we are incarnated, when the Holy Spirit comes into our life. And so on that day, when I say, okay, I can't do this life on my own. Jesus, I need you. Come, rule my life. Forgive me my sins. You are Lord. On that day, the Holy Spirit enters into you. He lives in each and every person who has made who cries out to Jesus and made that call. And so the Holy Spirit is incarnated. He comes inside of you. That is how we do this. Jesus lived like this. The scriptures say when Jesus walked on the earth, his power came from the Holy Spirit. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was led by the Holy Spirit. He was completely dependent on the Holy Spirit. And he was completely submitted to God the Father. Scripture says he did nothing without the Father first telling him to do it. Nothing. Jesus says, I do nothing without God the Father telling me to do it. So he was completely filled with the Holy Spirit, completely led by the Holy Spirit, completely submitted by the Holy Spirit, and completely in the Father's will. So if we are going to walk, if we ought to walk in the same way in which he walked, we need to walk full of the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, dependent on the Holy Spirit, and completely in the will of God. Not doing anything before God tells me to. So, as a Christian, how does that look in my life? I don't know. Completely. I know where we start. We start by getting up every morning and doing what Jesus did. God, I don't want to move today before you tell me to. What do you want me to do, God? God, when I go to my job today, what is it you want me to do? God, when I go to the store today, what is it you want me to do? God, when I go to school today, what is it you want me to do? Now, I may, you know, I hate mornings. I don't get up very early. And sometimes I don't get up till like 20 minutes before I have to leave. And so, but that doesn't mean that I don't stop before I ever get out of my bed, hopefully, and say, God, what is it you want me to do today? And then keep that in my mind as I go, run to the shower, hurry, go. But hopefully we take longer. But every day, God, what is it you want me to do? Being filled with the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit means you have a gift. And I love this. It's a gift. We learned this weekend, we talked about this. The greatest thing about a gift, it's not dependent on me. It was given to me by the Lord. And so walking in my gifts, we're going to talk more about this over the next year. Rob's going to really dig into it and starting hopefully at the beginning of the year. Maybe you don't know what your gifts are. We want to help you figure those out. There's prophecy and there's knowledge and there's hospitality and there's all these different kinds of gifts that are out there. Walking in your gifts and using them. So, you know, think about Christmas, and I'm stealing this from this weekend again. So, you know, we as parents, we want to give good gifts, right? And so when the boys are young, I used to try to coax it out of them. Man, that Xbox is pretty cool. What do you think of that? Hey, what'd you see on TV this week that maybe interests you? So I try to kind of be secret and try to pull those secrets out so that hopefully one day on Christmas or their birthday or whatever, I can give them the gift they want, right? And so how would it look, though, if I thought I did all that and they came in and they opened it up and they went, seriously, Dad, this is last year's model. Really? Come on. No, but think about that with our gifts. The Holy Spirit's in you. He's given you that gift. If we're not using those gifts that the Father has given us, man, it's just like that. So he's given us these gifts. But again, it's not dependent on me. It's him. And so if I try to walk my gifts and I mess up, it's okay. I just keep walking. And so I think those are the two biggest things that I could come up with to say, how do I walk like Jesus? I'm completely in love with God, dependent on God, crying out to him. I'm in my word, his word. I'm reading my Bible. I'm praying. And I'm asking the Holy Spirit to help me know my gifts and use them. And then doing it. And so I think those are the two ways that we can best right now live that out. Okay. Verse 7. Let's move on. Beloved. I'm going to stop there because this is an important term. Beloved. You are loved by God is what John is saying here. I know I'm saying some hard things. But know you're loved. It's really important. John says, I love you. God loves you. Walk in this. Remember what we said, love comes before obedience, right? And so be loved. So don't pass that too fast. I am writing to you no new commandment, but an old commandment you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. And so there's some different talks about there about what this word is. The first one that they talk about is from the very get-go, from the time that somebody sat down with them and said, hey, guy, do you know Jesus? And he's like, yeah, I've heard some Nazarene guy, he's doing miracles, and some say he's a weirdo, but some say he's God, and all these things. And so it's setting, so the first time somebody sat down with him and oh, yeah, you know who Jesus really is? And they went through it. And then they said, Jesus gave us a couple commandments, you know. He said, love the Lord God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, and love your neighbors yourself. And so they've heard this. It's not new. They've known it since from the get-go, from the first time the gospel was shared with them. But they also heard this in Leviticus. And so back in Leviticus, in God's Word, in the Old Testament, it lays out all these laws, but it says, love your neighbor as yourself, or love one another. And so that's why he says here, you've heard this. This is not new. Something that you've heard over and over again. And so, it's not new. But next verse, he says this. At the same time, it is a new commandment. Whoa, dude, what? You just said it wasn't a new commandment. Okay, it's not, but here's the difference. Jesus is on the scene. And let's be honest, when Jesus comes on the scene, everything changes, right? Yeah, and so Jesus is on the scene, and so John says this, yeah, okay, it is a new commandment, but this is why, because it's true in him first. And so Jesus, and he always takes it one step further. So in one of Jesus' talks to his people, he says, yes, you should love one another. And then he goes, but love them as I have loved you. Man, he just kicked it up a notch. He just raised the bar. But the awesome thing is, he raises that bar. He knows we cannot get there ourselves, so he gives us the Holy Spirit. And that allows us to help get that up to that bar. And so, it's not on us. It's on Jesus, on his Holy Spirit. And so, he helps us raise that bar. So, it's true in him because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. This true light, obviously, it's Jesus. And so, that's why it's new. That's why it's different because he's called us to a higher standard. And I like this cross. So, I found these four statements and put them together. If you're wondering what the love of Jesus looks like, here's what it looks like. One, it's wide enough to include every human being. Scripture says it's as far as the east is from the west. That was a long time. I didn't understand what that meant. That was cool. I sang it in a song. I saw it in Scripture, but I didn't really understand it. So if you think about the globe, east, it never stops. If I keep going east, I just keep going east. If I keep going west, I keep going west. So the east and west never really touch. I'm always going east or I'm always going west. And so it reaches, his love is so wide, it can reach every human being. There is not a person on this earth that cannot be reached by the love of Jesus Christ. That's how wide his love is. It's long enough to last an eternity. There's a day coming, this body will be gone. And then we'll be in heaven, if we know Jesus, with God. And we'll be singing his praises, and there'll be no more sickness, no more tiredness, no more addiction, no more sadness, no more mourning, no more grief. And that's how long his love is. It's never ending, never failing, never ceasing. It'll last an eternity. It's deep enough to reach the most guilty sinner. There is no sin, nothing you can do or have done that Jesus cannot take away, that he cannot change, that he cannot pay for. You don't know what I've done. Jesus does. There's not a sin that he cannot or has not paid for, if you ask. That's how deep it will go. It's high enough to take us to heaven. Kind of got ahead of myself there. There'll be a day when we're with God. Scripture says we're in the kingdom, but kingdom's still coming. So yeah, we can know God and we have a right relationship with him and we can love Jesus. But there's a day that Jesus' love is going to take us to heaven. So that's how Jesus loves. That's that high bar that only by the power of the Holy Spirit, loving him and then walking out in perfection, his commandments, his love, gets us there. All right, old versus new. So John keeps going, 9 through 11. And this one could be tough. This is talking about our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. So love your neighbors yourself, love one another as I have loved you. And John's putting this in the context of our fellow believers in Christ, our brothers and sisters. And so this is a pretty important thing to him as he lays this out here. He thinks it's important. He says, whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother remains, abides in the light, and in him there's no cause for stumbling. And so that no cause for stumbling, what he's saying there, because we're just going to quickly touch on, it says, hey, look, you've gone through the tests. You're loving God. He's loving you. You're walking out his commandments. You're loving your brothers. So you're probably okay. You're not stumbling in your walk of faith. And so that's what he's saying there. But he goes on, he says, but whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Have you guys ever been in a point in a room that was completely void of light? I've done it once. We went to, years ago, we were leading mission trips in Kentucky, and on one of the trips, we stopped at a place called Mammoth Cave, which is awesome, by the way. So you walk through this cave, and you see all these rock formations and stuff, and they take you down further and further, and you climb across a ladder to go over to the next side, and but you end up in this place. It's kind of like a dome. And they put you inside this dome, and they say, okay, if you got cell phones, turn them off. No light. You know, cover your watches, whatever. And so there's a light on, and they somehow close the little door you walk through. And he says, okay, don't be scared, but I'm about to turn the lights off. Turns the lights off, completely dark. You know, the saying, you can't see your hand in front of your face. I could have put it right next to my nose and not have been able to see what was going on. So complete darkness, completely void of light. And imagine if I had got up. Imagine the first guy who found this cave, if he didn't have a light, and he was walking through this devoid cave, and he can't see in front of him, he just falls off and dies. And so this is what this sin does. My hatred, especially for my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, it darkens my eyes, and it leads me to death because I can't see where I'm going. So it's completely void of life, of light. And so they flip this light back on. It wasn't a really bright light, but it didn't take much. This little bit of light began to illuminate the room. And so our Christian life is kind of like this. You know, he talks about you're in darkness if you have indifference and hate with your brother and you're not doing anything about it. You just continue to hate them and you're not going to them and trying to make things right. But there's a point in our life. So when you first come to know Jesus as your Savior, and he completely takes away your sin, there's this process that's called sanctification. So it's, I am made holy. I am set apart in Christ when I know Jesus is my Savior. But there's this process as I walk with him more and more, and as I realize the power of the Holy Spirit in me and walk in his gifts and get in his word and draw near to him and let him lead me and be completely dependent on all these things, there's a process that the sin begins to really kind of be washed away in my heart. It's paid for, taken care of, but it's paid for. And so picture this. Picture you're in your room, and it's completely devoid of light, completely dark, and you, this little light comes on, and you look around, and there's dirty clothes on the floor, and a little mouse runs over there, and so there's these things. So you pick up that little space, and it kind of cleans up, right? And then the light gets a little bigger, and you see a little more dirt, and you clean that up. And eventually, the light fills the room, and hopefully all the dirt is gone, and it's bright and shiny and all this stuff. So we're not talking this process. There is a process we go through. So maybe you're having a problem with another brother or sister or your mom or your dad or a friend, but you're working, you don't want it. You're trying to work that out. That's different than me saying, I hate you. I can't stand you. I don't like what you say. I don't like the way you look. It's completely different. And so don't confuse the two. There is a process. But we do need to know, am I walking in hardness of heart and not seeking forgiveness or asking forgiveness or trying to make that relationship right, then maybe I need to look at it. Am I truly in the light? Is Jesus Christ really in me? And so that's the kind of the change, and that's kind of what we're looking at there. Quick note, hate can be passive or active. I can completely walk in, dude, I can't stand you. Get away from me. Or I can just give you the cold shoulder and not pay, hey, Jimmy, what's up? And just walk. So there's active and passive. There's me not dealing with it, and there's me completely confronting you. And so think about that too. Okay. So John has been hammering this so far. And now he's going to go to a word of encouragement. I mean, we all need encouragement, right? There's a story of this teacher, and she has little kids. And one day she comes in, and she gives them a piece of paper, and all the names of the classmates are on this piece of paper. And she says, here's what I want you guys to do. I want you to write something nice about everybody in the classroom. Go home, write it down, bring it back. And so she does, and she brings it back the next day, or they bring it back, and then she hands them out to the people. And, you know, and they're like, oh, this is awesome, and these little kids. And so years later, one of her students was a Vietnam vet. And so she goes to his funeral. And at the end of the funeral, his wife comes over to the teacher and says, you're so-and-so. She says, oh, yeah. I said, I got to show you something. And so she takes out this folded-up piece of paper, and it's his piece of paper that all these people had written on. And she said he carried this with him everywhere he went. And there was other people there in the class. Oh, yeah, I still got mine. And so we need encouragement. So encourage one another. Are you walking in darkness? Are you walking in pain and sorrow and grief? Encourage, walk with one another. But this is why John, I think, and this is what a lot of people think, this is why he's kind of saying, okay, let's flip it a little bit here. Here's what I hear and what I think is going well. And so restored, most of you that I know, this is where we are. And so this is going well. And so he breaks it down. We should read the verse. Let's go next. Those are the next. So he breaks it down like this. And so we're in verses 12 through 14. But we're gonna kind of put them together. Because in both of those, he writes to children twice, he writes to fathers twice, and he writes to young men twice. And so we're just gonna kind of talk about them each together. And so he says, I am writing to you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven for his name's sake. I have written to you, children, because you know the Father. And so these children, the widest thing they talk about and think this is, has nothing to do with age. It has everything to do with your spiritual walk. So where are you in your spiritual walk? Are you a new believer? I kind of attribute this to like marriage. You know, that first stage is the honeymoon stage, right? We use the Danza's idea of the dog also. So maybe you're not married, but maybe what's one thing that you were given that you had right away? You had so much joy and you were telling everybody about it and you were excited and you had this feeling, but then it got hard, right? And so the dog poops on the floor. You got to clean it up. You got to feed him every night. You got to take him for a walk. Marriage, you get to really know each other. And you're like, is this who I married? No. But here's the thing. As you grow in marriage, doesn't your love for one another grow? Right? And so the more I know them, so I've got this awesome emotional experience. God touched me. He forgave me of my sins because of Jesus' name. Woohoo! I'm on fire. I'm telling everybody about him. And then I y'all go to church a little bit, and then I'm in and out. And then, you know, it kind of calms down. But all the process, hopefully I'm growing closer to God. So this is kind of talking about them, but do you remember those days? Do you remember when you first came to know Christ? Think about it if you don't. I want to go back there. I want to always remember and as best I can be excited that my name is written in the book of life, that my sins were forgiven, that Jesus loves me. I want my memories to be there. And so this is talking about children, but this has something for all those who believe and are followers of Christ. Go back to the faith of your youth and remember these. And again, it's for his name's sake. Psalms talks a lot about my sins were forgiven for your name's sake. I'm loved for your name's sake. And so it's all because of Jesus things were done. I'm writing to you because you know the Father. So he said, hey, guys, this is a great place to be. You're doing great. You know the Father. Your sins were forgiven. So maybe you're there in your walk. Nobody really knows why he went from children to fathers to young men, but he did, so we're just going to follow that pattern. So then he goes to fathers. He says, I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. So these fathers are your spiritual mamas and papas. These are the ones that have been walking with the Lord a long time. They have that intimate relationship with God. They're in his word. They know him. They remain in him. They remain in his word. They've walked it out for a long time. And hopefully they're the ones that are mentoring, discipling, walking alongside those in the church that are either in their children or their young men stage. So some of you are in that stage. And he's saying, great job. Keep it up. You know him. You've been with him from the beginning. And again, this beginning is the beginning of your salvation. From day one that you were saved, you have walked with him and you are matured in that. And you can help others do this. Praise God, you're where you are. But what are you doing? Are you helping others? And so, young men, I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I'm writing to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the evil one. So these are your adolescents, your younger believers. These, you know, a lot of commentaries, these are the guys that are in the front line. You know, you're a child and you're not quite sure what it means to follow Christ and you're being taught up. You've, for lack of a better word, you've paid your dues, you're tired, you want to follow Jesus, but man, I just can't go prayer walk out there anymore. I just can't be out there in the mission field. We never end. We're always doing something, but maybe you're not in a place where you can be that person anymore. So these guys are on the front line. These are the ones that they're strong because they understand what it means to walk in the power of the Lord. They understand what it means to have the armor of God on them, to be in their, to have their sword of the Spirit and their salvation and their helmet and their breastplate of righteousness. They understand these things, and so they can walk in the world in that strength. They've overcome the evil one. They have temptations. They haven't overcome all of their sin, but they've got victories over Satan. And again, that's every one of us in this room. Every one of us have had victory over that. From the day you were saved, you overcame the power of death, you overcame Satan, all these things because of what Jesus did. And so we have those. Again, man, I want to remember those. I want to remember what God did in my life. I want to look back in the stages of my life and remember how God worked. And so, I've overcome the evil one. And so that's who he's talking about here. And so, he's just saying, you guys are all here somewhere. This is your walk in life. You're doing good. Just watch out for these other things that we've been talking about. Are you being obedient to his commandments? Are you walking in light? Are you loving one another the way Jesus loved you? So, that's where John is going with that. So back to our boom. Our relationship to God the Father that is made possible because of the Father's love for Jesus and Jesus' love for us should create in us a love for Jesus. We want to be the church that loves Jesus and a willingness for us to be obedient to God's commandments. So take the test. Read through 1 John 2 and see where you are. Know where you are. Pray for those that aren't, that may not be where you are, that are walking in that darkness. Look at what stage of Christianity you're in. Am I a new believer? And so, great, run with that zeal. Don't lose it. Grab one of these spiritual mamas and papas that are in this church and let them walk alongside you and be discipled. Are you a young man or woman that's on fire, that's been discipled and you're walking strong in your faith? Go. Go into your neighborhoods. Go into your houses. Go into your schools. Go into the mission field. But go. Go into the front lines. You are, first and foremost, all of us are children of God who know him. But we're also soldiers for Christ. And so we want to be in the battle. So go. Get in the battle. Don't stand back. Grow in your love for Jesus. Love comes first. Seek him daily. Pray. Pray for the Spirit to fall. Pray for him to show you your gifts. Pray for him to give you the power to do that. Read God's word. Live in the light. Years and years ago, I came to to true a lordship place in my life later in life. My mom took me to church, and I walked an aisle pretty young age, and went to youth in and out. But it wasn't until much later in life, 2004, we were serving in the church, and God just kept working in my heart. And salvation versus lordship, I don't know. But at this point, I was on zeal. I was in that fire on zeal and just really wanting to go out and serve the Lord. And we lost the pastor of the church at that time. And a friend of mine was preaching, and he came up with this lamp and on his table, and he took this basket and he put it over the top of it. And he was talking about the scripture of Matthew. It says, "You're a city set on a hill. Don't put your light under a basket." And so he's just walking through these things, and "Let your light shine before men." And he said, "Here's the thing, believer. It doesn't matter where you are in your walk. You have God's light in you." And so he began poking these holes in this basket. And little pieces of light began to shine out. And he said, "Here's the thing. You're never going to know it all. Don't wait. God's light is in you. Walk in it. Share that light with others." And that was one of the biggest things that catapulted me to where I am today. So walk in the light of Jesus. If he's in you, his light is in you. Walk in that light. Walk in the power of the Holy Spirit.